Janet, do you do attendance first and then the pledge or the opposite order?
I think you call to order and then pledge of allegiance.
Okay, well, let's call this meeting to order. It's 6:16 p.m. and this is the August 25th, 2021 Library Commission meeting. And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. All right. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. I am hearing a delay. So now, Janet, can you do the roll call?
Hi, yes, I can. Commissioner Chair Goodman?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Present.
Vice Chair Murr?
Present.
All right. And do we have anyone joining us who has any public comment today?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak at this time, to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Great. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting of Monday, May 3rd, 2021?
I'll move.
The second?
I will second.
All right. Can we call for a vote?
Does that need to be a roll call vote? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think so.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
All right, motion approved. Let's move to item B1, the director's report.
Thank you. Sorry for our late start. We had some technical difficulties. So our report covers the period of time from April through June. We had some holidays in there that delayed our meetings. So if we can advance the slide. That's advanced quite a bit. If we could start at the beginning of the presentation under statistics. I'll just start reporting. We circulated 44,488 items from April through June. There were 1,157 uses of the wireless network outside of the library during this time. Next slide. We seem to be having some issues with the slides. I'm going to continue with the actual statistics for April through June. 171 children's, teen, and adult virtual programs were held in April through June with a total of 5,362 views. We held a bookmark contest for teens on the book to action theme of equity, diversity, and inclusion. We helped 6,210 patrons with sidewalk service during the 3 months. 4,280 patrons came into the library from April through June. We gave away 2,979 books through the Grab and Go program, paperback program, from April through June. We've discontinued this service now that people can come into the library and browse. We checked out 1,675 books through the newbie program from April through June. And again, this is another service that we've discontinued now that people can come in and browse. Those were two services that helped people find new authors when they were unable to come into the library. We handed out 2,781 craft kits. In terms of the Isla Vista grant, I've got a lot of great news to report. We purchased a Mercedes Sprinter van. Right now, as we speak, it's being modified. We were very happy to find out that we were able to get a mechanized lift installed in it. Bookshelves are being installed. Steps to get into the vehicle are being installed because it's really tall. Other things that will allow us to secure book carts so they won't roll around while we're in motion. So we're really excited about that, and that should be done within 2 weeks. We contacted organizations again to find out if they wanted to be scheduled stops once the van is on the road. And we've created a schedule, a full schedule, that will see us out on the road about 30 hours a week. We sent in a large number of book orders. We've purchased furniture and supplies, and all of that stuff is coming to the library. We have two recruitments out open right now for two library assistants and two library aides, so that we'll have two teams out in the van at any time. One library assistant and one library aide will be operating together. And I made presentations about the book van to Isla Vista Community Services District Board, and also the board at Isla Vista Parks and Recreation. So we're very excited. We're making great strides on that.
Ms. Do you Mark? Have an estimated day for when you might actually be able to start that service?
We do. On October 4th, we're going to have a ribbon cutting with Senator Lamone at the Isla Vista Community Center. I will send the information on that as soon as we have the exact time. And that will be the first week of operation. We'll be operating on a 2 week schedule. Week one, we'll have specific stops. And then week two, we'll have different stops. And then we'll repeat that schedule every 2 weeks. So we'll be visiting each location every other week. The Black Gold Cooperative, we've begun building the Aspen Overlay Catalog site. We're almost complete with that. It's going to be a huge improvement over our current online catalog. We're expecting a go live date sometime in late September. It makes searching for things so much easier, and I think you're all going to be really impressed when you see it. And it's going to be just much easier for people to use and find the things that they're looking for. We shot a video on how to navigate the current library website. It was featured in the news press, and many people came to get library cards as a result, which was great. Librarians have been ordering books and audiovisual materials at a brisk pace. Seems like a lot of the authors were writing during COVID, so a lot of the best-selling authors have materials coming out. We've been posting covers of the new books on our social media channels to drum up interest. The library's opened for express service on June 2nd. We started with 15-minute visits inside the library. We continued with sidewalk service at the same time for those people that didn't want to come inside the library. In July, we extended the visit time in the library to 25 minutes. And then four of us took the CPI, which is the Crisis Prevention Institute, verbal intervention training sponsored by the California State Library. This excellent training will allow us to train the rest of our staff on best practices and working with unhappy patrons. So all of that kept us quite busy for those 3 months. And that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Without the agenda in front of me, would you like to move on to item B2?
Chair Goodman, before we do that, if there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Okay, thank you, Janet. So Allison, are you ready to continue?
Yes, I've got a presentation for you on the library budget for fiscal years 21-22 and 22-23. As you may remember, the city of Goleta does 2-year budgets every 2 years. So this shows you the actuals for fiscal year 19-20, the year that we finished on June 30th, 2020. And then the adopted budget for 2021, the projected budget for 21-22, and the projected budget for 22-23. So we will go through, basically we'll concentrate on the information for this current fiscal year, 21-22. So Measure L, which is the parcel tax that residents of Goleta voted many years ago to tax themselves to support the library. So there is some of that population is geographically in the city. Some is in the unincorporated county area. So you'll see that we earn about $500,000 plus from that. And then development impact fees, we're expecting at least $28,000 this year for that. And then intergovernmental revenue, the county per capita, the county of Santa Barbara gives us $7.80 per capita for our population in zone 4. This shows the county funding for the Goleta library service area. It does not show for Buellton or Solvang. So it just shows what we expect for our service area for this library. And then the city contribution. So our total government rent revenue for this current fiscal year is just over $1 million. The Friends are so generous to us every year. They guarantee us $48,000, and then they often will give us more than that for special projects. For example, they always support the summer reading club and purchase most of the materials for that. And then donations, we always get $5,000 every year from the Las Alitas Women's Organization for the purchase of large print materials to support our homebound patron program. So that's $53,000 that we can expect in friends and donation revenue. Other revenue that we are expecting this year, as you will recall, we eliminated the charging of overdue fines. So the fees that we are expecting to collect will be for lost items. And that was just a guess that we might collect approximately $5,500 because we were not charging people for things lost during COVID. But now we are back to sort of regular operations. And so we are charging for lost materials. The room rental fee, we vastly lowballed the number because we're just not sure when we will be holding public meetings in the library. We also rent the walls in the multipurpose room for art displays monthly. But again, we're not sure when we will be able to start doing that again. Right now in the multipurpose room, we're storing a lot of furniture. We don't have all of the furniture out in the library proper because we're practicing social distancing. So for the time being, that room is not available for public meetings or library programs. So that's why that number is very small compared to fiscal year 22-23, when hopefully normal operations will be back and that room will get its usual amount of use, and the walls will be rented for art displays. So that's why that number is so small. So that gives us a total anticipated revenue for this fiscal year of $1,639,780. Can I answer any questions on that?
Yes, Commissioner, I have a question. What is this, a year that goes from July 1, 2021 to June 30, 2022?
Yes, that's correct.
Great, thank you.
Okay, let's take a look at the expenditures. So this again, we're looking at the third column. Permanent staff is essentially all of our full-time and part-time staff, with the exception of the pages, the library pages, and that includes salaries and benefits. So that totals $1,107,400, and then the pages staff salaries total $40,500. So that gives us total salaries and benefits at $1,147,900. And then in the services and supplies budget, our Black Gold fee covers a lot of things. It covers our computer system, our circulation system, the card catalog. It covers the Wi-Fi devices that we rent out or loan out for free. It covers a lot of the databases that we have available for our patrons to use that we have to pay for. So it covers a lot of different services. It includes Hoopla, the downloadable services, OverDrive, all of those things. So we pay for all of that through Black Gold, which is really convenient. If we were not a member of Black Gold, we could not replicate those services for anywhere near $254,000. It would cost much more than that. So we're really fortunate that we are part of Black Gold. Materials, $194,400. That includes the book and materials budget, among other things. Programming and outreach is a very small budget just for supplies. Utilities, it's an expensive building to run. Professional services, that includes IT, landscaping, all of those kinds of things that we have to subscribe to. And other includes everything that isn't included in those other categories. So our services and supplies come to $734,600. We have no admin fee, and so our total expenditures that we anticipate for this fiscal year are $1,882,500.
Commissioner Murr, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, I did. So I'm looking at the line between last year and this coming year, and it looks like the Black Gold fee was increased a whole lot, but then the professional service fees declined. And so is that basically you were moving things from professional services to Black Gold?
Yes, the city was getting accustomed to the accounting of the library services. The library is a really complicated accounting problem for the city. We have so many different sources of revenue. And then it was just, it took a while for the city to get a handle on our different expenditures as well. So it was working with the city accountants to get everything in the most appropriate category. So yes, it was moving things around to make them, put them in the most appropriate area.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
You'll see that the expenditures from last year to this year only really went up 70 something thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on that sheet? Okay, so the last page.
Before we move on, if there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Great, thank you. I assume we don't vote to approve the budget.
No, the city council did that.
Right, thank you. This is very helpful. So can we move on to the next item?
Okay. So we're going to have a discussion on whether we should adopt an internet use and safety policy. And just to give you some background, the Children's Internet Protection Act, which is known in the library world as CIPA, was enacted by Congress in the year 2000 to address concerns about children's access to obscene or harmful content over the internet. CIPA imposes certain requirements on schools and libraries that receive discounts for internet access through the E-Rate program, a program that makes certain communication services and products more affordable for eligible schools and libraries. In early 2001, the FCC issued rules implementing CIPA and provided updates to those rules in 2011. And I attached a summary of CIPA requirements for you in your packet. CIPA requires three things: an internet use and safety policy that addresses the reasons for filtering internet computers and wireless networks, the ability for staff to remove the filter for adults who request it at a particular public internet computer station, and the holding of a public meeting for the discussion of this issue. In consultation with the city attorney's office, staff determined that the public meeting should be at the city council level. However, staff wishes to hear the opinion of the Library Advisory Commission on the issue and then present that to the city council at the September 17th city council meeting. At the present time, the Goleta Library and Goleta and San Ynez Valley Library System does not filter our public internet computers or the wireless network. Historically, this has caused consternation for parents that we do not filter, but library management felt it was important to provide free access to the internet. Filters used to be extremely ineffective. However, they've greatly improved in terms of only filtering out sites that should be filtered. In the early days, they would filter out like cooking sites that had recipes for chicken breast because the word breast was used. So they used to be overly restrictive. However, they're not like that anymore. And we'll go into more detail about this when we discuss the actual policy, proposed policy. Recently, I was informed by the Black Gold Cooperative Director that Zone 4, managed by the City of Goleta, is the only jurisdiction in Black Gold that does not abide by the Children's Internet Protection Act. CIPA essentially requires the filtering of all public internet computers and wireless networks within the library building to protect minors from accessing inappropriate sites. So our non-compliance causes two major issues for Black Gold and the other jurisdictions in Black Gold. First, if even one member of the Black Gold Cooperative is not in compliance with SIPA, the whole cooperative is unable to apply for federal funding. The Black Gold Cooperative Director said that we have 1 year's grace period to comply, wherein Black Gold can apply for federal funding. If we're not in compliance after that, Black Gold will no longer be eligible. And this year, a huge amount of federal funding has been set aside for public libraries. The second issue of non-compliance is that if Goleta and its branches are not SIPA compliant, we will see our E-rate funding disappear and our internet expenses will increase by an approximate $5,000 a month starting next year, next fiscal year. E-rate discounts for inexpensive internet for public libraries and schools is contingent upon being SIPA compliant. So each of our libraries would have to pay approximately $60,000 more a year if we do not become SIPA compliant. So the cost of non-SIPA access is unsustainable for Goleta, Buellton, and Solvang budgets. We also do not want to inhibit the other members of the Black Gold Cooperative system or ourselves from having access to federal funds. The alternative is that we could choose to maintain unfiltered public access to the internet, but again, it would cost us a great deal more for internet access, and it would have an impact on the Black Gold Cooperative system. So we've drafted this possible internet use and safety policy that's on your screen right now. And I'll just read through it and then we can discuss it and make any changes that you would like to suggest. So I'll just start reading now. Internet access provided by Goleta Valley Library and its branches is a free service to an open network provided for your convenience, and its use is at your own risk. It is available to the general public and is not inherently secure, although we do have security measures in place, but we cannot guarantee the security. We cannot and do not guarantee the privacy of your data and communication while using the service. This service provides access to the internet on an as-is basis with all risks inherent in such access. The providers of the service make no warranty that the service or that any information, software, or other material accessible on the service is free of viruses, worms, Trojan horses, or other harmful components. By connecting, the user acknowledges and accepts the risks associated with public access to the internet and public use of an unsecured wireless network. Internet safety and minors at the library. The Goleta Valley Library and its branches, in conjunction with the Black Gold Cooperative Library System, participates in the federally funded E-rate program, which provides affordable internet access to schools and libraries. The Federal Communications Commission requires E-rate participants to follow the 2001 Children's Internet Protection Act, and there's a link to the full SIPA information, the law. But this law requires us to filter our internet access. Parents and legal guardians are responsible for their children at all times while visiting the library. This includes responsibility for minor children's use of the internet. To provide for the safety of our minor patrons and to be compliant with SIPA, the Goleta and Santa Ynez Valley Libraries currently use filtering software to block websites that promote computer hacking, phishing, defined as a scam by which an email user is duped into revealing personal or confidential information which the scammer can use illicitly, fraud, tasteless and offensive material considered inappropriate for public viewing, terrorism, spam, adult content and pornography, and spyware. Computer filters cannot guarantee that all potentially objectionable material is removed. The Goleta and Santa Ynez Valley Libraries cannot guarantee that a user, minor or adult, will not get to an offensive site or will not be inadvertently exposed to one, as all computers are placed in a public area. Additionally, parents and legal guardians are responsible for monitoring, supervising, and deciding which internet sites are appropriate for minors in their custody. If unable to access a site, an adult patron may request staff to unblock access to that site if it is for bona fide research or other lawful purposes. They may do so anonymously via a web form or email message or in person. The Goleta Valley Library reserves the right to grant or deny such requests. Children and teens increasingly use email, chat rooms, instant messaging, and other forms of direct communication. All patrons, minors, and adults are strongly cautioned to use good judgment when chatting with others online, recognizing that unscrupulous people will lie about themselves for their own advantage. The Goleta and Santa Ynez Valley Libraries urge discretion and caution with electronic communication, especially for minors. Parents and legal guardians are responsible for all direct electronic communication, that includes email, chat rooms, or direct message service, in which minors in their custody participate. The library encourages parents and guardians to read and discuss safety guidelines as set forth in a document called Child Safety on the Internet Superhighway, and we've provided the link to that with their children and teens. So that is our proposed policy, which would be posted online when people first sign on to one of the public internet computers or the wireless network, and would also be posted next to each public internet computer that we have in the libraries. And so I'm interested to hear from you if you feel that we need to make any additions or subtractions or clarifications before we make this recommendation to the City Council. Commissioner Murr?
I just have a question. I'm trying to understand the timing. Because SIPA was, you know, enacted in, you said 2000, I think, and updated in 2011. Mm-hmm. So has the Goleta Library always been not followed SIPA, or did it when it was part of the Santa Barbara library system and then moved?
No, Santa Barbara and Goleta, neither jurisdiction complied with SIPA. Wow. And it was basically a philosophical issue with filtering. Librarians don't like to censor, but I was surprised when the Black Gold director contacted me and informed me that Santa Barbara had changed its mind and was complying with SIPA. And then when I found out the impact that it would have on the other jurisdictions in Black Gold, I felt that we needed to comply as well.
So does that mean that the Goleta Library has not received federal funding since SIPA has been enacted, or they just weren't necessarily, you know, enforcing that part?
They were not enforcing that. We were covered under the Black Gold blanket, but Black Gold has been informed that that will no longer continue. And I was informed that as long as I made a good faith effort to ensure that by the end of this fiscal year, we would be in compliance with SIPA, that Black Gold would get, and we would get the E-rate funding for this fiscal year. But if we were not compliant by next fiscal year, we would no longer be included in the Black Gold blanket, so to speak. Commissioner Goodman?
Yeah, so I share librarians' aversion to censorship, and I want that reflected. And of course, I think it's important as to be fiscally responsible and to position ourselves so that we are able to receive federal funds despite really disliking the daddy state. I am curious about two things. So one, in the part where it says all the things that the filtering protects against. So I'm curious about who decides what's tasteless and offensive and who decides what's adult content and what's child content. And if there are different types of filters that can be used that are more or less restrictive, or if it's a one size fits all.
There are a bunch of different filtering products. So I've done some research and I checked with the other jurisdictions as well to find out which filtering products they use. And I've pretty much decided on a product called DNS. And it's actually the product that we are currently using in order to try to protect against to protect our current network against incursions from hackers and things like that. It is interesting. In the early days, it was housewives and college students who were making the decisions on what were inappropriate sites and what were appropriate sites. And it's become more of an automated process. And you're right, absolutely no filter is 100% what I would agree with. And I would, you know, who can define pornography? Who can define adult content to everyone's satisfaction? It's a very thorny issue, and that's why we have not complied with SIPA until now. No filter is going to satisfy everyone, but I have found that DNS is less restrictive than a lot of the other ones out there. Some of them are very purposefully extremely conservative and political in what they will not allow access to. DNS seems to be one of the less politically motivated filters out there. So I feel good about the sites that they block versus the sites that they allow. I did a lot of, you know, searching content and felt that they allowed access to sites that were left-wing and right-wing rather than just being constantly in the middle ground.
Commissioner Burke.
I have a follow-up question from Commissioner Gordon's, Goodman, sorry, question. So, when we were talking about, you know, who is arbitrating, you know, the decision of what's tasteless and offensive, that makes me wonder about some of the language here in this. It says, if unable to access a site, an adult patron may request staff to unblock access to that site if it is for bona fide research or other lawful purpose. So is that going to be placing library staff in the position of making that decision or evaluating these requests? I'm just wondering why you have that instead of just saying, if a adult asks, we verify that they're over 18 and then allow them access.
I think that's a very good point. And when I was reading it out loud, I was questioning that myself. So I want to check with our city attorney and make sure that wasn't there just for legal purposes, because we would not question. The law states that if an adult over 18 asks for the filter to be removed, that library staff will do that. So I'm going to look at that and see if we can remove that part of the statement. Thank you.
Thank you. The other piece that I see that I'm curious about is that There's a lot of talk about parents being responsible for direct communication, emails, chat rooms, but there's no mention of social media. So I don't know if it's possible for people to access their social media on there, but if it is, I think that that should be included. If we're educating about internet safety, I think we communicate much more through social media than chat rooms now, although maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think that's a very good suggestion. I will add that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I would just say that, I mean, in case, well, I don't know if I made my position clear, but I think that for all the reasons that you said and all the you know, potential ramifications of not doing this, that the, you know, the scale tilts that we, that it's a good idea for the Goleta Library to adopt this policy with kind of some of the changes that we discussed.
Thank you. Okay, so is there a recommendation from the Library Advisory Commission that with the changes that you suggested that that you would support our moving ahead with suggesting to the City Council that this is a good policy to move forward with?
Yes, do we need to take a formal vote on that, or do we need to?
I think that would be great.
Great. So I will move that we recommend that Allison present the policy to the City Council with the changes we suggested in our discussion.
I'll second. Mayor
Goodman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will make those changes and present it to the City Council in September. And I'm sure everyone in Black Gold will be very happy to hear.
And do we have any business that we want to put on a future agenda?
Chair Goodman, before we move on, if there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Thank you. Anyone on the commission have something that needs to be placed on a future agenda? Seeing none, I am going to adjourn this meeting at 6:58 p.m. Thank you all, and I apologize again for my late attendance.
Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, wherever the